Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Parashat HaShavua, Parashat Korach. And Korach is a very interesting parasha. Why? Because we're talking about argument, something that we like to do, unfortunately. Arguing with each other, everybody's got his own opinion and thinks he is right, the other one is not right. And in our parasha, there's a big lesson. First of all, to understand that the most dangerous thing is machloket. Machloket. When you have an opinion and you want to oppose your opinion on the others, and normally it comes from jealousy, as it happens in our parsha, and we know what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says: "Akinah, ha'ta'ava ve'hakavod motzi'im et ha'adam min ha'olam." Pride, lust, and honor take the man out of this world. And here, in this point, I want to understand something. What does it mean, motzi'im et ha'adam min ha'olam, take him out of the world? When we look at the people that are standing in front of us in our parsha, we see Korach. Now, Korach was not just another guy. If I want to do the hierarchy of that time, it would be Moshe, Aaron, and then Korach. Because Korach was one that took the ark on himself and he had Ruach HaKodesh. He had the Holy Spirit, he had the prophecy, power of prophecy. Now this guy is a top man. It's like to understand who he is. You think to yourself today, it could be Lehavdil, yes, the Rav Kanievsky, the Rav Steinman, or Rav Ovadia Yosef Zatzal, or you choose any great rabbi you know, this is Korach. And Chazal, our sages, ask really, Korach, shepikeach haya, he was a smart guy. Ma ra'al eshtut zo? Why did he do this stupid thing? Going against Moshe Rabbeinu? What? You're not normal?
Stupid.
So we have to understand what's going on here. Now, the people that he took with him, do you think they are stupid? Let's see if I've got it here. You want to see? ויקח קורח בן יצער, בן קהת, בן לוי, ודתן ואבירם בני אליאב. Oh, we've got this nice couple, דתן and אבירם. We know them for a long time. Wherever there is something wrong, you find them. Okay. ועון בן פלט, and און בן פלט is a story by itself, because we don't see him anymore, because he had a clever wife. And his wife told him, what are you doing? You're going against Moshe Rabbeinu? Okay, let's see. What are you going to benefit out of it? If Moshe Rabbeinu wins, so you are the servant of Moshe Rabbeinu. And if Korach wins, you are the servant of Korach. So in both cases, you are a servant. Stay where you are. Don't mix with them. So clever. And really, he didn't come out of the tent and he survived. Because of his wife. Says, a wife can build and a wife can destroy. No bad things, I think. Okay, so nothing. We all good. Okay. Now, Vayakumu lifnei Moshe, v'anashim ibnei Israel, and who are those people? 250. Nesi'ei Yedah. Nesi'ei Yedah? Those are the top of the people. Kriyei Moed. Anshei Shem. People with names. In other words, we're talking here, when you look at Rashi, he even mentions Elitzur ben Shde'ur. Elitzur ben Shde'ur was one of the Nesi'im, one of the princes of the tribes. He was chosen. He was the best guy. And he's involved in this thing, in this mess. Another interesting thing. How many high priests do we have? One. So what do those 250 people think? Only one, and Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them. He's telling them, Ve'aya isha asher yivchar Hashem, and the man that God is going to choose, he is the guy. In other words, how many?
One.
And what is the test? The ketoret. Now the ketoret, if you remember, what happens if you use it wrong? You die. The two sons of Aaron
died.
So, in other words, all those 250 people know that they are going to die. There is one chance. One guy that is going to survive, and all the others
will die.
So does this prevent them from approaching and going and doing it? No. The next morning, they all stand there. And they all die. What's going on here? So first of all, let's understand what's going on in Korach's mind. Why does he think that he can do something against Moshe Rabbeinu?
Because he's stupid.
But the Gemara says he's not stupid. So that's the thing. The Gemara says, what, is he stupid? But we know that he's a clever guy. Now, if you see, it's written here, Anshei Shem, and also Kriei Moed. What is Kriei Moed? What is, what have you got a translation, Kriei Moed? Interesting, what they write as a translation. It's in the second Pasuk.
Second?
Yes, Bet. Vayakumu lifnei Moshe. The second Pasuk is written, Kriei Moed. It's a very strange way that how they are being called. And this is why the Gemara, the Torah tries to tell us that those are very famous people. And because one of the reasons that the Torah didn't want to ashamed the families, they didn't say exactly who it was. It's like when a famous dude does something wrong, and you know he's got a very important family, so sometimes you're not allowed to tell the name. But you know, they give so many details that everybody knows exactly who it is. And that's the case here. But it's not being said. Yes, what do you say, Kriei Moed?
They rose up in face of Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 men, they were princes, 250 men, they were princes of the congregation, the elected men of the assembly, men and women, and they themselves together against Moses.
Okay. In other words, no translation. Because it's a problem, because Kriei Moed, if I want to translate it, is those who call the Moed. What's the Moed? Yontef. Moedim. Chagim Uzmanim. So, I think the Rav Zalman Sorotskin writes, you know what is written here? You know, what was his problem? He said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you choose the people and God agrees with you. In other words, you could choose me and God will sanctify me. When you chose Aaron or the others, all what you did is your own decision. And God, because you did it, gave you the power to choose, and he sanctified what you chose. You chose Aaron, because there was a problem. There was quite clear that when Aaron went to the tabernacle and brought the sacrifices, the fire came from heaven, and everybody saw that Aaron was chosen. He says, no. Everybody saw that Aaron was sanctified by God because you chose it, not God. In other words, the one who is close to the plate, he is going to get the job. And this was his argument. So what was his case? There are people that decide when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, the Beis Din. You come to the Beis Din, you tell them, I saw the moon like this, I see this, I did this, and they check you and they ask you, and then they decide, the Beis Din, decide, the first of the month, the Rosh Chodesh, is at that day. Says the Mishnah, Afilu to'im, Afilu shogegim, Afilu mezidim, kadosh. In other words, if the Beis Din did a mistake, if the Beis Din didn't do a mistake, he did it intentionally and decided that the Rosh Chodesh is going to be even at the wrong day, a day before or a day after. What's going to be? Is going to be Rosh Chodesh or not?
Yes.
It's going to be Rosh Chodesh. God is going to sanctify the decision. In other words, all the Yom Tovim are going to be at the wrong day because the Beis Din did a mistake or intentionally changed the Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Hashanah is going to be a day before or a day after, but still, is it going to be Rosh Hashanah? Yes. So, what is Korach saying to Moshe? The same way is the Beis Din decides when Rosh Chodesh is, and God sanctified the decision, the same way you chose Aaron, and God sanctified your decision. Now, what is Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Boker, morning, and God is going to tell you what's the truth. Who is the one who chose it? What is Boker? Very strange, this phrase, Boker. But what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling to him, you're saying, I chose, and God sanctified. I'm saying, God chose. And what is the proof? Boker. Vayerev, vayiboker, yom rishon. Vayerev, vayiboker, yom sheni. Who decide? Who made the day and night? God. The same way he made the decision. Now, you go to sleep. Think about it. Maybe in the morning we'll get to your senses and you won't stand here and won't go against God. It's not against me. You're going against God. God himself. But we all know that the next morning they were all standing there. And this brings us back that if somebody הקנאה, התאווה והכבוד מוצאים את האדם מן העולם. Jealousy, lust and honor take you out of the world. What does it mean? It means that it's like those 250 people were like zombies. They didn't control what they did already. They were like animals. They lost the common sense because of the desire. Because that they wanted something. We all do the same thing. This Korach is inside of us, trying to tempt us to do things that are wrong. So he puts them in a sanctifying the cover and putting it in a nice
packaging.
And we think, oh, he's making us think it's good, it's all right. But then we lose it. We don't think logically. We think from our heart. We think from our desire. And it happens to us all the time. That we want to see something, that's what we see. The same thing has happened with the Meraglim. The same story in a different variation. But the point is that there, they were talking about Eretz Israel, a land. Here they were talking against God and against Moshe. That's why they got this severe punishment. That was something that was never there. Something, a new thing that happened because of the terrible thing they did. Going against Moshe and going against God. But the big lesson for us is that we have to check the things we do. Are we doing them because we want it to happen? Or are we doing it because it's right? We all know sometimes we have, let's say, diabetic, or you're not allowed to eat this, you're not allowed to eat that, but sometimes we really want it. We want chocolate. But you've got sugar, and you're not allowed to eat chocolate. So, you're trying to convince yourself, it's not so terrible, but you eat sugar, you eat the chocolate. Now you eat it once, and you've got this like, why did they do it? It's so wrong, it's not good. But then you do it a second time. Oh, it's bad. Then you did the third time. And then the fourth time, you've got no problem. That's a Mishnah, by the way. The Mishnah in the Gemara says, one who sins a few times, again and again, eventually comes to the situation that he thinks is allowed. And that's the biggest problem we have. And that's why we have to check ourselves all the time. Are we on the right way? Are we still doing what we're supposed to do? Now here we're standing 250 top people and doing a stupid thing because of the desire to be Kohen Gadol. Now, the real story here is terrible. Why? Because you would think that after what's happening here, everything is going to be quiet. Everybody realizes, okay, 250 people were banned. The other were swallowed into the earth. And now everybody learned the lesson and understand that God is involved and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just choose Aaron or whatever. But what's happening afterwards? Look what they say. We cannot go to the whole parasha, so I'm going now to the next situation, which is okay. This is in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Vav. Unbelievable! After all what's happening, Vayilonu Kol Adat Bnei Israel. And it's written, Kol Adat Bnei Israel. All the congregation, all the children of Israel were complaining the next day, Mimochorat, on Moshe. En Allah on Aaron. Le'emor, what did they say? Atem amitem et am Hashem. You killed them. Terrible. After all what was happening, they blame Moshe Rabbeinu killing those 250 people. And we have to understand what's going on here. How dare they blame, after all what's happening, Moshe Rabbeinu? And God is really furious now. And Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, Ayromo mitoch hadak, get out, I'm going to destroy everybody. And a plague starts. And Moshe tells Aaron, you want to save the people? Take the ketoret and run in between them, and then only then the plague is going to stop. Now, what did we say about the ketoret? Just now, it killed 250 people. It killed even the two sons of Aaron. Yeah. Now, look at Aaron. Aaron knows that there is death in this ketoret if you take it not in the place. Now, is this the place? Go out with the ketoret? It's only in Kodesh HaKodeshim you take the ketoret in. You don't take go out with the ketoret. Like those people were standing out with the ketoret, what happened? They all die. Now you would be afraid. Is Aaron afraid? Moshe, his brother, told him to do it. He's running with it. He's risking his life. You have to understand, his two sons died for me. 250 people died before. And what happens? He saves the people. What was the whole idea? For everybody to realize that not the ketoret kills, but the sin kills. When the ketoret is being done as the order of God, it's the best thing that can do. The best thing that can be. They say those who brought the ketoret, they were getting richer. There was a skula in the ketoret. In other words, it is the best thing in the world. You know, the smell of it. People say that when they came to Jerusalem, the smell of the ketoret, all the women of Jerusalem didn't have to put perfume. Because all of Jerusalem had a beautiful smell. And heavenly smell. That's the ketoret. But from the other side, you see what happens. Now the lesson was for the people. You are blaming Moshe Rabbeinu that gave those 250 people this terrible test of the ketoret. You knew they're going to die because you knew, Moshe, that only one can be Kohen Gadol. In other words, you knew right in front that what's going to happen to all those 250 people? They're all going to be killed. So you killed them. And from this point of view, if you think about it, are they wrong or right? They're right. You gave them the test. It's like I now take a glass of cyanide and give you all to drink. Chas v'sholem. But what does it mean? That I killed you. Yep. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. But then God showed them that not the ketoret kills, but the sin kills. So in other words, if they were right, nothing would have happened to them. But they were wrong. Now, we have the 250 people dying because of the ketoret. We have Datan v'Avriam and all his group drowning into the earth. We have a plague that is being stopped by the ketoret. ויהיו המתים במגפה 14,700, 14,000, more than 14,000 people were died in this plague. And then what's happening? It's not ending. וידבר השם אל משה לאמור, דבר בני ישראל, קחו מאיתם מטה, מטה. You will take now from all the princes a stick, and you will put it near the Luchot HaBrit, near the ark, and the next morning, everybody will see the one that his stick is going to bloom and have fruits, this is the one who was chosen. I'm asking you, is it not clear enough who is chosen? Yeah. That we need another test? You know, something here is very strange in this parsha. Going on and on and on and the same thing. But everybody knows already.
But they don't believe.
There is a problem. Because otherwise God wouldn't do the test. And now, let's go to this next situation. After all this, ויאמרו בני ישראל אל משה, and the children of Israel, in Pasuk Kaf, Kaf Zayin, I think, Kaf Zayin in Perek Yud-Chet, Perek Yud-Zayin, ויאמרו בני ישראל אל משה לאמור, אין גוונו, עבדנו, כולנו עבדנו. Have you got it? פרק י' זין, near the end of the פרק, פסוק כף זין. Okay. ויאמרו בני ישראל, and the children of Israel said to Moshe, אין גוונו, עבדנו, כולנו, what are we going all to be doomed? Our gold to be finished? כל הקרב, הקרב אל משכן השם, ימות. Everybody wants to get closer to God, to the Mishkan, to the temple, he's dying. Ein tamnu ligma, but that's what we're here, to die? You see, what do they see? Let's put ourselves in the same situation. This is this Rav Steinman. Okay, no, Chas v'Sholom, it's not time. I'm just taking for us to understand who we're talking about. And he's taking all the greatest Rabbonim that there are and calling everybody to stand against the leader. In other words, all the Gdoilim of Am Yisrael are standing there. And we see what's happening. What would we think? If all those Gdoilim, that the only, what did they want? What did they want? Let's put it. Did they want to drink wine? Did they want to go to a club, to a nightclub? What did they want? To eat treif? What did they want? To steal? To kill? What did they want? Let's think about what is the whole argument in this our parsha. About what?
To glorify God.
What's happening here? Think about it. All those people are there to get nearer to God. And look what happens to them. They didn't want to go on the beach and have fun. They wanted holiness. And what is their reward? Death. So what would you think? If you want to be holy, what's going to happen to you? If you want to get closer to God, what's going to happen to you? What's going on here? That's why we're going to a stage and another stage and another stage, because the people are in a shock, in a trauma. You see all those Gdoilim dying, everybody who gets near holiness is being killed. What's going on here? Is that what they ask? What, are we going to die? That's the idea? And now comes, let's say, the most important point of the parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu is explaining, everybody's got his job. There is an order. Everybody needs to do his own job and not looking at the others. Everybody got talent. Everybody got qualities. And only if the machine It's like a normal machine. If you take a screw from one side of the machine and put it in the other side, what's going to happen to the machine? It won't do it. But if you put every screw in the right place and every part in the right place, and then everything works. In other words, what God wanted to show, it's not that you are not going to decide where you're going to stand. It's like, if you remember the communist, not long ago, what was the idea? Everybody is a comrade, chaverim, friends, everybody is equal. Was it like this?
No.
Yes, they were equal more and equal less.
But they weren't equal either.
No, nothing. You had filthy rich and filthy poor, and in the middle, nobody wants to be. That was this brilliant idea of everybody is equal. What is Korach saying in the beginning of the parasha? Kol ha'eda kulam kdoshim madua titnasu al am Hashem. Everybody is holy. Why are you on top of us? Because we all been there, we all got the Torah, we all equal. It's like a synagogue without a rabbi. What do you think about a synagogue without a rabbi? Something wrong. I'm. By the way, I'm davening in a synagogue, there's no rabbi.
So
there are too many rabbis.
When we have it here, we have no rabbi.
And you feel it. It's missing. Now, what is Korach saying? And that's the funny thing about it. What does Korach want? He wants equal? He wants to be equal?
No.
No, he wants the job. So I don't understand. From one side, you're saying everybody is equal. From the other side, what are you saying? I want the job. What's going on here? But that's exactly the idea of the communism. To say things, I want holiness, and I want friendship, and I want, but inside, what do you really want? Don't cover it up. Look inside you, what do I really want?
Power.
Exactly. In other words, God is telling us that even in holiness, it's not you who decide where and when and what. That's why God is here. And God decides. And if he gives you a job, maybe to you it doesn't look so holy. But it is. And it's really what Korach said is right. Kol ha'eda kulam kdoshim. We are all holy. But when? When each one of us is doing his own job. But if I look at the others, oh, he's got this beautiful car. He's got this beautiful house. He's so clever. He's got this job, other job. I want it. This way, no society can survive. The communism dead. It's died because of it. Let's say the nearest idea to communism in our land, we invented it, is the kibbutz.
And that's dying too.
And that's dying too. Because also in the kibbutz, I have friends in the kibbutz, and you all know there are also fights there and machlokas because nobody is equal in this perspective. Everybody's got a different talent. If you take a one who is very powerful and you put him in an office, how is he going to feel? And if you take this nebuch and put him in the field to work, how is he going to feel? Or if you get this clever guy and you take him be in charge on the garbage of the kibbutz, and you take the most clever guy, instead of putting him on top of everything, you're going to put him in a horrible job. What would you think? Is it going to work?
No.
So this is what the parsha is about. And everything starts from a simple thing. I want what I haven't got. I want what the other got. This is jealousy. And what's happening when you're going into this stage? Motzi'im oto min ha'olam. What is motzi'im oto min ha'olam? You're not in this world anymore. You're here. Because we see a lot of people that are jealous, that are doing wrong things, and machlokes, and they're here with us, but they're not really here with us. Because what is here in us is just an empty shell. Because all the inside is not there anymore. Because they are not here in this world. Because what they're doing is going to lead them where? We see in our parsha. We say in Arabic, in Dredarai. That's what's happened. If you go in the wrong way. If you want to do what you didn't get, if you want to do something else, like, and the best example is, and with this we end this shiur, is imagine to yourself a factory that people are being chosen by special tests in order to find them the right job. And that's what they do today. They have the psychology test and things to find every employee, to put him in the right place, in the right position. If he's going to be a hard worker, is he going to be in an office, is he going to be a manager, whatever. And then somebody comes to you, and everybody now, this is a very interesting factory. Everybody gets the same salary. As long as you do your job that was given to you, you get the same salary exactly. Now somebody comes to you and he wants, my job is not enough for me, I want more.
You want more?
No, he wants more. And he wants more. Now, if he wants more, knowing that he's not going to get more money, what do you think about a guy like this?
It's not fair.
He's stupid. Or maybe he's not doing even his own job. Because if he wants another job, and he's going to get the same salary at the end of the month, either he's stupid, or he's not even doing his own job. Because as the test show, that the guy got the right job. And this is the job suitable for him after all the tests. Physically, spiritually, mind-wise. He got the right job. And this is exactly the minute that somebody comes to me, it's not enough what I'm doing. And you know that he's not going to benefit nothing out of it. What does it mean? Is not coming in from the right reason. And this is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu told us. Rav lachem bnei Levi. What, it's not enough what you got from God? God gave you a job. And by the way, better than others. If you're talking about holiness. You are the tribe of Levi, Korach, who came. And you are the one who working the most holiest job in the world. So, and you complaining? What, it's not enough what you've got? You have so much. But that's exactly the point. Everybody has to look at what he's got, that he's got the best thing for him. And if he's going to get what the other got, for him it's not going to be good. You all know the story with the rich guy of town with the poor guy. The boss came to the rabbi and complained. The rich guy came and complained, I've got no night, I've got no day, I have to worry all the time about this, about that. Look at this guy, this poor guy. He's got his food for every day, he's happy. He's got no problems, daggers there all the time, worries about this and worries about that. He goes out. So, okay, the rabbi says, I'll check, I'll see what I can help you. 2 minutes later comes the poor guy of the town. He says, Oi, Rebbe, I've got something to eat. I've got, look at my house, look at my situation. And look at this rich guy. Look, he's got everything. Everything. Look how beautiful house, servants. Everything he's got. The rabbi says, okay, go out. I'll find a solution. He calls them both. Okay. Change. Huh? Both of them are happy. 2 days. Both of them are again at the rabbi. Rabbi, they're shouting, give me back my share. I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be poor. What happened? The rich guy came to the poor house, and he was used to eat a beautiful breakfast, croissant, a nice cappuccino. No cappuccino, no croissant, dry bread, cafe elite with no taste. Why? This is what I cannot say. Then, meal? At lunch, he was eating a steak. What steak? Cheese didn't even have. And then the bed, he couldn't sleep on it. 2 days, came back. Well, what happened to the one who was in the rich place? He was waking up, beautiful bed. Then they gave him this breakfast. What is this? It was too delicate for him. It's what he wanted something to feel. He eats, not this coffee. And then the people came to him. He has to deal with all the business. You see, this guy over there has got a problem with this and that. And he was starting sweating. Every minute, another problem. Every minute another thing. Okay, a beautiful house, servants, everything, but with this, also a lot of problems. So after 2 days, he also ran to the rabbi. What is the lesson? Very simple. Keep your own place. See to do the most from the place you are. And then, kol ha'eda kulam kedushim. When each one of us is going to do his own job and not looking at the others, other what he's got, then we all be happy, satisfied, and holy. Bezrat Hashem. Amen.